verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven. I've got dual citizenship. I'm English. I'm a citizen of Great Britain. And I'm a citizen of Australia. Actually, I've got three. I'm a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. Do you know which one's going to last the longest? I'm a citizen of heaven. If you're born again, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're a Christian, then you are a citizen of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And you've got a way open for you into heaven through the blood of Jesus. And Paul is saying here that we're waiting for him. We're waiting for Jesus to return. He promises he would come. And he says, when he comes, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. When he comes, your body is going to be changed. Hallelujah. You won't look the same as you're looking now. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Before you all came out this morning, you all looked in a mirror. And you didn't like what you saw, so you did some alterations. Is that right? In heaven, you won't have, there'll be no mirrors in heaven. You won't worry about that at all, because in heaven we'll have a glorified body, a glorious body. Isn't that marvelous? He says, like Jesus, his glorious body. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was glorified. And you're going to have a beautiful body. No wrinkles, no spots, no loss of hair. No aches and pains. You're going to be looking beautiful. Hallelujah. Probably will be about, 25 years of age. That's what we'll look like, okay? We won't look old. Aren't you glad about that? We will look like we think. You know, when you get older, young people don't realize this. When you get older, young people, you don't think old. You still think that you're young. And you try to do things that you used to be able to do, and you find out you couldn't do them. It's the body that lets you down, not the old grey matter. Well, I think in heaven we'll have a body that goes along with the old grey matter there, and we'll be young, amen. Now, it says we will have a body that's like the glorious body of Jesus. But when Jesus rose from the dead, there was something very strange about his body. Very strange. Do you remember when he appeared to the disciples and Thomas wasn't there? We call him Doubting Thomas. But he wasn't doubting Thomas. It was just downright unbelief. He wasn't doubting. They said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's risen. And he says, I don't believe it. And I won't believe it till I can put my finger into his nail prints, thrust my fist into his side, then I'll believe. So that's hardly doubting, isn't it? Would you agree that's a bit more than doubting? That's downright unbelief. Well, Jesus appeared again. And this is what he says in John 20. Listen to this, and from verse 19. Well, verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. So there's something strange here. When Jesus rose from the dead, he had scars. He had scars in his hands, in his side.
But we talked earlier about the glorified body of Jesus. And I said to you that when you actually go to heaven, your body will have no defects in it at all. It will be perfect. Jesus had scars here. Why? Why was it when he rose from the dead, he still carried scars? Somebody said to me the other day, he carried the scars just to show Thomas. It was for Thomas. I don't know. If he'd appeared to Thomas without the scars, Thomas still would have believed when he saw him resurrected. No. Why did he have scars? And I started to think about this. Why did Jesus have scars? I started to think about scars. I would imagine almost everybody here bears some physical scar. A scar is the result of skin tissue that's been broken and it heals. But when it heals, it leaves a mark, or we call it a scar. How many people here have got physical scars in their body? Hands up. Let's have a look. Put them right up in there. I want to see. Yeah, just most of you have. Some of you did put your hand up. You're either too lazy to put your hand up, or you're perfect. You've got no body marks on you at all. But I think little kids fall over all the time, scratch themselves, scar themselves. We all bear scars. I got a lot. Do you want me to show you my scars? Got a lot of scars. On the day that we go to heaven, on the day that Jesus returns, and we are given a new body, there will be no scars. There will be no blemishes. Everything will be perfect. We'll have a new body, like God is giving us a new spirit and a new soul. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Isn't that wonderful? And ladies, isn't it a wonderful thought that there'll be no Avon ladies in heaven? Come on, you don't need them. There won't be any need of that at all, because in heaven it will be perfection. So then I think, well, what about Jesus? Why did he have scars? I believe the reason that Jesus had scars was for a very important thing that God wanted to show us. Something incredible. Now, you know that when he died on the cross, he died for our sins. You know that. We've just had communion that says so. When Jesus died, he took your sins and your sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. And Jesus suffered and died alone for your sin. He took your lying, your cheating, your rebellion, your pride, your prejudice. He took it all upon himself. And God punished Jesus for the sin of the world, so that you and I do not have to be punished. Hallelujah. So that one day there will be absolute, total freedom from sin. He has forgiven us and he has cleansed us. How many of you know that it is possible for not only to have physical scars, but it's possible to have emotional scars, psychological scars? Many years ago, when I was pastoring in Armidale in the 1990s, we led a man to the Lord. He was a real bikey, tattoos everywhere, big bloke he was. But his life had become wrecked with drugs and alcohol. And we led him to the Lord. He got gloriously saved. His life turned around. And it was wonderful to have conversations with him. He was a totally new man. And some months later, I was speaking to him. And I says, how are you going? He says, oh, pastor. He says, I wished I'd got saved earlier. I says, yeah, we all do. He said, no, but I really wished I do. I said, whoa. He said, well, Jesus has saved me. Jesus has forgiven me. But you know what, pastor? I still bit the scars of what I did. And when I heard that, I said to him, well, you shouldn't. He said, what? I said, you shouldn't. Because Jesus not only took your sins and your sorrows, he took your scars away as well. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus bore physical scars to show us something, that we don't have to have emotional, psychological, or spiritual scars. A lot of people do. See, I meet a lot of Christians, and I've been a pastor for over 35 years. I've pastored 3 churches. I've been the president of the West Australian Assemblies of God. I've met thousands of Christians. I've known many, many Christians. And I know a lot of you here because, you know, I come along and preach every now and again. We had a lovely camp together. Do you remember the camp we had? So I got to know some of you personally. I got to relate with you. And I see a lot of Christians, as they get older in life, they don't show the joy and they don't show the peace. Their life seems to be one sometimes of discontent, or sometimes it seems to be a life of some pain. And this troubles me because I believe when you're born again, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I believe Christians should show joy. And if Christians can't show joy, who can? Nobody else can, because the joy of the Lord, we have been given God's joy. It's not our joy. It is a gift of God. His joy, His peace has come upon us. Hallelujah. But I see Christians and they seem to be not as joyful. And I think, why is this? Why? How many of you know that life is not easy? You found that out, haven't you? You don't need me to tell you that, do you? Life is not easy. Life is troublesome. Life can be burdensome. And along life, as we live life, things go wrong. Now, let me just say this. Whether you are a Christian or non-Christian, things still go wrong. So, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I used to preach one time, come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. And after I've been a Christian for about 20 years, I stopped preaching that. Because I found out coming to Jesus can mean you have more problems than what you did before. It can. It can mean, I've seen people come to Jesus, wives come to Jesus, and the husbands are not saved. It's causing more trouble than before. Coming to Jesus can put you in line of persecution, ridicule, all sorts of things. So you can have more. So being a Christian doesn't mean that you won't have trouble. Jesus says, in the world you will have trouble. But he says, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. See, that's an interesting thing Jesus said. In the world you will have trouble, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Come, let it sink in. Jesus said, it's not John Warwick that said it. Jesus said this in John. In the world you will have trouble. But he says in John 14 and verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. That's an oxymoron. You'll have trouble, but don't be troubled. Hey, and you know the only people that are like that, that can have that, are Christians. The world got trouble and the world is troubled. Christians can get trouble, but shouldn't be troubled. You see, bearing scars, we can pick up emotional scars as we go through life. Family breakup, marriage breakup, financial strife and stress, sickness in the body. Lots of things can bring us scars. I'm not talking physical now. You've all put your hand up to physical scars, or nearly all of you did. You put your hand up to physical. I'm not talking now physical scars. When you look at a scar, a physical scar, it reminds you that the tissue was once broken, but has now come together. But there's a reminder of the tissue being broken. There's a reminder of the pain you once had with that scar. Okay, but I'm not talking now about physical scars now. I'm talking about emotional scars. Things that's happened in your life that's left some imprint on your life that when you think about that thing, man, it brings a bit of pain. You know, you can hear some music play and all of a sudden your mind goes back to an incident that happened and, oh, it hurts. When I used to preach in Armidale, I'm very much a gospel preacher. So I'm always preaching the gospel. I always want people to get saved. So I used to use my father as an example of wanting to get people saved. Now, my father went through the First World War. And he came out absolutely ruined. And he became a drunkard. And he didn't get married until he was 38 years of age. My mother was 20. And he had four sons and four daughters he had. But didn't want anything to do with them because he was just... When he was drunk, he could talk. And he'd talk a whole lot of rubbish. But when he was sober, he didn't want to talk. He was a very bitter, angry man. And when he was sober, he wouldn't have a conversation with any of us. I remember in the later years, if he wanted to talk to my mum, he used to scribble a little note and put it on the table for her. Wouldn't talk to her. And she had to read it, what he wants. She used to scribble a note back and put it on the table to him. It was not a very good household. I was next to the youngest. My dad was so angry with me as a young kid that he said to me, "You're no good, you're stupid, you're dumb, and you're going to end up on the gallows." He said that to me when I was 7 years of age. The only time he would talk is when he was drunk, and then it was a lot of rubbish that he would speak. Now that, as a young kid, hurt me. I want to tell you, hurt me. I never, ever once heard him say anything nice about me. Not once. Never took me out anywhere. Never bought me anything. Never did anything for me. And nor the other kids. I remember getting a lashing from him many a time. Now that could have really made me a bad person. Because as I started to grow up, I started to emulate him. And I became cruel. I joined a gang. And I just wanted to cause trouble. The first time I came into a church was with a gang of lads to break the church meeting up. We came in and we sat at the back. We smoked our cigarettes. We shouted and cursed and swore as much as we can to try to break. We wanted them to kick us out. The church that I got saved in, that where I went into to cause, I used to break their notice board down outside on a regular basis. Throw bricks through the windows. I was just a bad lad. And I went into this church to wreck it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I went 3 times. And the 3rd time I got saved. Hallelujah. My life completely turned around. I got absolutely transformed. And suddenly where I was a nasty kid, a rotten kid, I've suddenly now got saved. And guess what? I'm a nice kid. I've changed. Because I've got myself a father who loves me. He's my heavenly father. And so I used to use this expression. I used to tell people about it. I remember my scripture teacher in school, back in those days, kids won't remember this, but back in the older ones, used to have scripture taught in school. You know, well, they don't teach it now. And I remember the scripture teacher, who was the teacher in the school, he gave up on me because I was such a bad lad. And after I got saved, listen to this, I got saved, and about 5 weeks after I got saved, I went back to school during the lunch break to see the teachers in the staff room to tell them what had happened to me. And I told them all that I'd become a Christian and I'm following Jesus. And this scripture teacher was so pleased that on the next Monday morning when they had school assembly, it was a big school of kids there that they had school assembly, he got up and told the whole school that John Warwick had become a Christian. And there was, you know, deathly silence because John Warwick, how could he become a Christian? Because I was a horrible kid. I was a bully. I was just no good. I was a gang leader. But I got saved. I found I'd got a new father. So I used to use this. And one time I was preaching, a lady came to me after the meeting. She says, "I'm going to pray for you, Pastor." I says, "Why?" She says, "Because you've got no forgiveness about your father." I said, "Where do you get that from?" She says, "You're always talking about him, how he used to beat you, and how he used to tell you that you're stupid." And I said, "Well, he did. I'm not lying. He actually did that." But she says, "Well, you know, you should forgive him." I said, "How do you know I haven't?" "Because you're talking about him." "No, I'm telling for the sake of the gospel. I'm giving an example that I had a father that didn't love me, and then I got a father that did love me." And I said to him, "Well, let me just tell you something. I loved him. He's gone now, and he could possibly be in heaven now, because just before we left to come to Australia,
as an old man, I managed to get him to come to church. He sat on the back row and I preached the gospel. Asked for who wants to get saved, he put his hand up. So he could well be in heaven now, but I forgave him. But the point I wanted to make to you is this. I can remember the pain. I can remember the anger. I can remember all the bad things that happened. But guess what? It hasn't left a scar because none of those things hurt me. You see, we can't erase the memory bank. Have you noticed that? How many people wish you could erase your memory bank at times? Come on. Anybody here would like to forget some things? But you can't. I can remember bad things I did as a kid. I can't erase the memory bank. But I've got no spiritual or psychological or emotional scars. They're not there. Because when I remember those things, I don't fall into pain. I don't fall into anguish. I don't get depressed or oppressed. I remember them. They are memories. And I dismiss them. And by the way, let me tell you this. And you're going to love this. When you get to heaven, your memory of all the bad things is going to be erased. You won't get into heaven and remember anything you did that was bad. Come on, isn't that good? Ain't that good for you, eh? That's really good, my brother there. I tell you, anything we did or have done in heaven, there will be no bad memories. I believe that in heaven, you still have good memories. I believe the good things of your parents, the good things of your siblings, the good things of your friends, you still remember. And we'll remember them always. But the bad things, God will erase them. Hallelujah. How many of you know God also has got a bad memory? Well, the Bible says it's forgotten about our sins. It says they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. God has forgiven us as far as the east is from the west. So far as he removed our transgressions from us. All the sins that you did because of the blood of Jesus, he's forgotten them. You don't look too happy about that. Don't you think that's pretty good? Did you hear, or do you think you didn't sin? You're not happy because, well, I did nothing wrong. If that's how you think, you're really in trouble. You are. You've done things wrong. I'm looking at some beautiful faces here. But let me tell you this. You've done some nasty things because you're human with human faults. You've hated. You've been jealous. You've coveted. You've done things wrong. Some of you have done a lot worse than that. But let me just tell you this. Because of the blood of Jesus, God has forgotten them when you came to him and asked for forgiveness. He doesn't bring them up. My memory might. Sometimes in my prayers, I forget and I'll say, oh God, you remember when I did such and such? I feel the Spirit say, no. No. Don't remember what you did. Because you've been cleansed and sanctified. Hallelujah. God looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are clean. Can you say praise God to that? Come on, that's a wonderful, wonderful thought. And if you're not a Christian, then you're not clean. If you're not born. The other week we was in a home group and a neighbor came in, was invited in. And this neighbor is a Catholic. And sitting there, I was doing a Bible study. And afterwards she stopped, she says, Can you tell me what it means to be born again? What a wonderful question. She says, I hear about being born again. She says, I'm a Catholic, but what does it mean to be born again? So guess what? I told her. I said, to be born again, it's got nothing to do with religion. Religion destroys. I said, when you're born again, it's relationship. It's you personally having a relationship. I said to her, do you know Jesus was the most unreligious person there was? Do you know who crucified Jesus? The religious people. He was not religious. Why do we turn him into religion? Why do we do that? Why do we make Jesus religious? Why do we make Christianity religious? It's not about religion. It's about relationship. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I've been born again. And if you're born again, it's a wonderful, marvelous, glorious experience that you have. And the best is yet to come. A friend of ours passed away just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And she's a lovely Christian lady. And she was, listen to this, just 1 month from her 99th birthday. Okay, she'd got a year and a month to go, and she'd have been 100. And so her son-in-law rang me to say, John, I just want you to know that Nancy's passed away. And I thought, oh, how sad. I thought, just another year and she could have got a card from the Queen. That's how I thought. And look, if she'd hung on another year, she could have got a card from the Queen. And I felt the Lord check me and say to me, hang on, a card from the Queen? She's having afternoon tea with the King. I've really got to put in my place, because sometimes we think, you know, leaving here is sort of a, you know, no, it's the best thing you can do. I've told you that before anyway. Best thing we can do is go to be with Jesus. The best thing. But we're not with Jesus yet. And if Jesus doesn't come in your lifetime, some of you young people have got 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 years ahead of you, 70 years ahead of you, 80 years, some of you have, of living. You'll be living on the earth for all those years. And in those years, there will come some pain. There will come some heartache. There will come trouble. Eat it. It's there. Everywhere you turn. But be very careful that you don't become scarred emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. Because those scars have the ability, if you're not careful, to take away the fullness of God's salvation. The man who said to me, John, I still remember the scars. He had had a wonderful conversion, but it was still in pain of his memory of what had happened. And I said to him, Jesus bore the scars for you, so that you don't have to bear the scars. You remember, but when you remember, it won't bring you pain or turmoil or depression or oppression or anxiety or worry or stress. When you remember, it will be nothing, because Jesus bore the scars. Hallelujah. See, I believe that's when he rose from the dead. That's why he had the scars. I think he wanted to show to the church, not only have I taken away your sins, but I bear the scars of those sins for you. The things that you've... Because all of us, like I said, if we could, we'd erase the memory bank. But we can't. But we can get to a place where we're so healed, body, soul and spirit, that when we remember the past, we're not hurt. We're not troubled. We're not depressed. And you see, I see Christians that are hurt and troubled and depressed. I've worked with a lot of elderly people, Christians, and I look into their eyes and I can see that they've become confused. They're saved. Hey, they're going to go to heaven. But, oh, man, they're not showing the joy, the peace, because life is such a burden. Well, I want to tell you something. Give it to Jesus. Let him take it completely away. Because I don't care how young you are or how old you are. I want to tell you, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. Now, we sang one of the most favorite hymns today of old people. Old people. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Who wrote that? John Newton. John Newton used to be a slave driver. He was a horrible man, but he got gloriously saved. Listen to this. He became the pastor of a church in London. For many years, he ministered to people the wonderful gospel of Jesus. In his old age, he got Alzheimer's, dementia. In his old age. Somebody was speaking to him one day and he says to this person, I don't remember anything, but two things I do remember. I was a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's all you need to know, friends. That's enough to get you into heaven. You was a great sinner, but Jesus is a better great Savior. He washes your sins away and takes you into glory. So I take that wasn't a bad message I've just preached, is it? Do you think it's good? It is if you receive it. It is
if you receive it. Because let me ask you a question. What scars do you have? Now, the Lord gave me this message, so I reckon there must be some people in here that he's actually talking to. Now, I'm not talking about physical scars, because hey, you're not going to get rid of your physical scars till you get your new body. Okay, and when you get your new body, it's going to be so. I think we'll recognize each other in heaven, by the way. I think we will. When, if Jesus was to come now, or we were suddenly to change and go to heaven, you'd look at me, you'd go, wow, man, is that you, John? What a hunk, you'd say. Well, is that you? You recognize me, but I'll be changed. And I'll look at you and I'll say, whoa, I remember you. Whoa, look at you now. And you'll be changed. How wonderful that will be, because we'll have new bodies. But listen, I may not have a new body yet, but I do have a new heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. It's not talking about the future. It's talking about now. Right now, I've got a new heart. Right now, I've got a new spirit. Right now, he's taken the scars away so that I can be a happy little Vegemite every day of my life. Amen? He wants you to be happy. Listen to me. Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Don't do that. You look on every hand and side, friends, there's not much to be happy about. The wars and rumors of wars. The terrible atrocities that are happening in this world. As I speak to you, we've got comfort, beautiful comfort here. But the world's not like that. There's pain and suffering and anguish, turmoil, depression, oppression. There's violence, hatred. There's starvation, there's disease. It's out there. And it's contaminating people and dragging them down. And that's what the world wants to do with you. That's why Jesus says, listen, in the world you'll have trouble, but he says, be of good cheer. In other words, be happy because I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. He's saying, I've overcome the world for you. Don't be miserable. Don't be long-faced. Don't be upset. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. We're going to a better place. Hallelujah. Now, I know when I'm talking to old people and I say this, they think, lovely, sooner the better. But young people don't think like that, because they think, I've got some years to live, yeah, I'm not ready to go yet. You might be, but I'm not. But you know, I tell you this, young people, the older you get, the more attractive it looks. Did you hear me? The old, old folks that are here, am I speaking the truth? The older you get, the better it looks. Who would agree with that? Thank you. Because we've seen all the trouble. And you see, we know it ain't going to change unless Jesus comes. You know that politics isn't going to change this country, don't you? You don't? Oh, I do feel sorry for you. You mean if we can get a change of government, things will be different? No, they won't. Politics all around the world has never done anything for the world except create more havoc and turmoil. It's not the answer. Politics isn't. Religion's not the answer. The answer's Jesus. But I know this. See, I'm not much into, you've heard me speak a few times, so you know I'm not much into politics. You know that, don't you? And the reason I'm not into politics is because I've read the last chapter. Last two chapters. I've read the last five chapters. And in the last five chapters, Revelation doesn't get better. Gets a whole lot worse for the world and for the sinners. But for me, it gets a whole lot better. It says in Revelation 21, is it? And God will wipe away all tears. There'll be no more sorrow or crying or pain or death, for the former things will have passed away. So what do I look forward to? That. I heard somebody say the other day a little statement that's really stuck with me. He says, Christians live in the light of what's over there. We live in the light of what's over there. We don't live in the light of this world, because this world is darkness. Jesus came to bring us light, and Jesus has returned to the Father. And we live in the light of what's over there. Life for me is bearable. Because they might bury me here, but they can't keep me here. Because one day my body will be resurrected. Amen. Can you understand what? I do not belong here. I am not. Well, I've told you I'm a citizen of Australia. And I'm a citizen of England. And that's okay for travel, for holidays. It's okay. But the better thing to me is I'm a citizen of heaven. And I don't have to keep putting in for a visa for heaven. I got one. In fact, are you listening to this? Listen. When it comes to heaven, I got permanent residency. Hallelujah. We who know Jesus have been given permanent residency in heaven. So as I finish today, I finish asking you, because I know God's spoken to you, because he put this word on my heart. Do you have some psychological, emotional scar? Something that you is always there. And when you remember it, it just brings you down. Jesus is saying, come give it to me. You gave me your sins. I've taken them. I want to take your scars as well. Because I believe that when we see Jesus, we won't see him now with nail prints in his hands and his side. I believe he showed the disciples that for that occasion. When John talks about Jesus in Revelations 1, he's got a glorified body. Jesus bears no scars now. He's presented himself to the Father. He took our sins. He took our scars. Guess what? He left them down here in heaven. He's glorified. So he's saying to you, come on, let me heal you. Let me touch you. Let me take away from you the scars that you are still holding on to. You don't have to hold on to them, because I want you totally free. Now, I wonder if there's anybody here that God's spoken to, that you may say, yeah, there's things, John, that I just would wish I could get rid of. Past hurts, memories. Well, come on. I said, you can't erase a memory, but you can get rid of the hurt of that memory. And that's what I want to pray for. So as I close, I would like to pray for people here who would say, I've got some scars. I'm not talking physical, I'm talking emotional. I need some help. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can see it and I will pray for you. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yep, God bless quite a lot of you. Okay, God's really speaking. If there's anybody else, just put your hand up now because I'm going to pray. Yeah, God bless you, thank you, thank you. Don't take the scars out there, please. Peter says, cast all your burdens on him. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. And if you're bearing those scars emotionally, I want to tell you, Jesus is hurting for you, because he knows there's a better way. I want you to be filled with joy and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Isn't that wonderful? Notice that phrase, the peace of God from Philippians that passes all understanding. See, what I'm going to do and pray for you for, psychologists can't do. You can go to a psychologist with all your hurts and your pains and your problems, and all they can do is cover them. Maybe through drugs, through what, but they cover them. They don't eradicate them. Jesus can do what no psychiatrist can do. He can take them away. Hallelujah. He could produce a miracle on your life just now. So I'm going to pray now. But if there's anybody who didn't raise their hand, I want you to believe. See, when Thomas saw them, he says, my Lord and my God, he believed. If you don't believe, it won't happen. But if you believe, you will receive. Is there anybody else who didn't raise their hand that wants to do so just now before I pray? Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Sir, anybody else? Yeah, thank you. I see your hands at the back. God bless you. Now I realize you putting your hands up, a lot of you, I don't know what your scars are. I don't know the pain that they cause and the turmoil, but he does. So this isn't a light moment in my praying just now. This isn't a game. This is something of eternal value. So let us pray. Father, for every hand that was raised in this place today, Lord, I'm but a finite man. I'm just an instrument for you. I'm just saying what you wanted me to say. But Lord, you're looking where I can't look. You're looking beyond what my eyes can see. And you're looking now at their heart, into their mind. You're seeing the scars that are there, the trouble they've gone through, the neglect in some cases, or the abuse. You see it, Lord. Lord, things happen to us that sometimes are our own fault, and they bear scars. But other times things happen to us and there's a scar and it wasn't our fault. But Lord, you've promised, because we're your children, to take away all the scars, all the pain, all the weakness. And so whatever has scarred those people that raise their hand, right now, Holy Spirit, come and just heal them. Bring healing to the brokenhearted. Heal those scars so they're no longer there. The memory, Lord, we know will be, but there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow. Emotionally, psychologically, or spiritually, because you've cleansed them. Holy Spirit, come right now. Put your loving arms around those people and strengthen them. May they go from this place freed from those things that the enemy wants to use to drag them down. May they be free, and may the joy of the Lord well up within them. And may the peace of God just envelop them now. I thank you for every single one of them, Lord. May they be healed now. Be healed of all your scars. And I pray for people here, Lord, that are not well physically. If there's people here, Lord, that's got physical problems, I pray that healing virtue will flow. Lord, I feel your spirit in this place. I just sense, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Now I pray you start to move amongst the congregation and start to bring healing to bodies where people are sick, where people are in pain. Lord, I pray that you'll bring healing. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And if there are people here, Lord, that have done things wrong and have sinned and they haven't sought your forgiveness, then I pray they'll do so just now. Pray that every person here, Lord, that has failed you and has a guilty conscience because of it, I pray will cry to you just now, and that the blood of Jesus will cleanse them from all their unrighteousness, make them clean. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for ministering to us in and through the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.